A fool and his money are soon parted. A wise man should have money in his head, but not in his heart. Money has never made man happy, nor will it. There is nothing in its nature to produce happiness. The more of it one has, the more one wants. A quote by Benjamin Franklin. Hello and good day. I'm Renee Perry, and welcome to Business Success Starts with Loving Your Work podcast. Money doesn't buy happiness because nothing buys happiness. Happiness is an attitude, a state of contentment or satisfaction. It's not a temporary emotion such as joy. And if you have a happy attitude, you'll be happy with or without money. Psychologists have arrived at several conclusions in their search for predictors of happiness with regards to money. Many of the factors that may first come to mind do not seem to play a major role. For example, although people strive to acquire high-paying jobs and dream about winning the lottery, income is not strongly correlated with happiness. Wealthy people are happier than poorer people, but the difference is not very large. As one might expect, the association between money and happiness is strongest among very poor groups and among poor countries. Income leads to smaller and smaller gains in happiness as income levels rise. Therefore, money is not the end-all, be-all in life, until you don't have any. Then life becomes a scary and stressful place with no means for necessities, such as shelter, taking care of health concerns, or food. Money is a requisite for business success, whether we like it or not. It is an indicator as to how well our business is doing. Not only do we need money to be in business, we need, at the bare minimum, enough of it to pay our personal bills and our business bills on time. What does money mean for you, and do you know when enough will be enough? Let me repeat that. What does money mean for you, and do you know when enough will be enough? This is dependent on how you want to live your life. Do you enjoy all the extras that life can offer, or do you want to live simply with very little stuff? Or somewhere in between the spectrum of these two? These are personal choices that only you can decide. According to Morgan Housel, the author of The Psychology of Money, Timeless Lessons on Wealth, Greed, and Happiness, he has found that people have a tendency to constantly move the money goalpost of what would make them happy, and in so doing, never allow themselves to feel happy, because when we hit our goal, we think more will make us more happy, and it doesn't. How you manage your personal finances will be a reflection on how you will manage your business finances. If you struggle with finances and budgeting before starting a business, it won't miraculously resolve itself when you own a business. According to Business Insider, 20% of businesses fail within the first year. 50% fail within the first 5 years. 65% fail within the first 10 years. 25% of businesses make it beyond 15 years. Only 5% make it beyond 30 years. Money is the number one, number two, and number three reasons why businesses fail. But we don't lose just money when our businesses fail. We also lose a lot of energy and a lot of our time that we have invested. According to a research study done by Jesse Hagen of U.S. Bank, businesses fail because of these top three reasons. 82% fail because of poor cash flow management skills and also because of poor understanding of cash flow. 79% fail because they start out with too little money. And 73% of businesses fail because owners are overly optimistic with achievable sales, the amount of money required, and about what needs to be done to be successful. More than 8 in 10 businesses admit to experiencing cash flow problems at some point during their operations. If money is not managed properly and strategically, it causes impossible to fix chronic issues. Even a once profitable business can cause its own demise if money is not managed properly. I have always done a pretty good job of managing money, at least I think so. Having said that, I could have lost my business at several points throughout my 40 years because of not having enough money. There were times that I would feel so desperate because payroll or important bills were due, and I had no idea how I was going to pay them. My husband would get on the phone to contact our 30-day customers who owed us and would ask them for payment before their 30 days was up. He did it because I was a coward. I cannot tell you how many times I cried because I had no idea how bills were going to get paid, or how often I prayed at night that checks would miraculously appear in the mail the next day. Lack of money eats away your confidence, your joy, and your peace of mind. And my business would literally string along like this for years until my husband and I made some important directional changes. Dave Ramsey, who I just happened to discover this past year, believe it or not, and who has a degree in finance and real estate and is also an author and syndicated radio host, says, and I quote, "Money is not a math problem. It's a behavior problem." End of quote. I cannot agree more. You don't fix money problems with money. If you are not confident about how much money you will make in your business when first starting, my recommendation is to take it slow and don't quit your day job until your business is mostly solid. My husband and I spent the first 10 years working after hours on our business. I didn't give my husband the green light for full-time business ownership until I felt mostly confident we had a solid foundation of customers who would continue to use our services. After 10 years, we were ready then to take the plunge and jump in with both feet. I'm going to pre-warn you, I'm going to show my age again, but I love history and I believe we can learn a lot from it. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and it was a completely different time and way of life than it is today. There were seven people in my family and our itty-bitty rescue chihuahua named Tina, and we lived in a house that was less than 1,000 square feet. My dad made decent money, as he worked at Argonne National Laboratory as a technician in the nuclear department, and my mom stayed home with us five kids and Chihuahua. But even though Dad made a good living, working for the government wasn't a high-paying job by any means, so they made sure to make wise and frugal choices with their money. My mom made almost all of us kids our clothes. She knitted and sewed. She tended a vegetable garden every year and canned and froze vegetables to be used during the winter. There was nonstop yelling to turn off lights and to take a shower in less than 3 minutes. Not to brag or anything, but to this day, I still shower under 3 minutes. And the thermostat went no warmer than 65 degrees in the winter. If you're cold, this is an easy fix. Put on a sweater. Mom made dinner every night. I never went out to eat with my family as a kid. And credit cards did not exist in our home. My parents paid cash for everything they needed to buy, or they didn't buy it. My dad often said, "Waste not, want not." And that was our family mantra. Looking back, I am grateful for those times because it has been the foundation of running my businesses efficiently and effectively. It was tough then, but it was a blessing in disguise. I've been watching where the younger adult generations are getting on board with what is called loud budgeting, which is about living within their means and saving money, something that has been around for generations, unknown to many of the younger generations, but I'm glad to see it starting to catch fire again about the importance of saving and not accumulating debt and stuff. Financial stress happens when we have too much debt and not enough savings. If I live long enough, I will probably and unfortunately see another major catastrophe that will create financial hardships for many, many people. The painful and sad day for our country that occurred on 9/11 caused an estimated 600,000 jobs lost as a direct consequence of the terrorist attacks. 9/11 affected the travel, entertainment, transportation, airlines, and insurance industries. It was the first time in my business that we experienced a major financial hit because of the fear of explosives in any mode of transportation. Semis weren't getting much work, and the need for repairs screeched to a sudden halt. Luckily, there was a boom in the construction industry, which kept our business financially stable for years to come. But 7 years later, this too changed. Our country would be again smacked, and this time by the Great Recession, which also, like 9/11, played havoc on different industries and jobs. The Great Recession between December 2008 and December 2010 created a loss of around 1.8 million small businesses that just couldn't survive the market. And the construction industry was one of them, the industry that was keeping my business afloat. This caused my husband and I to make some fast adjustments. And now recently, most of us just squeezed through the COVID-19 pandemic, which also created havoc, causing an economic loss of more than $16 trillion, or roughly 90% of annual GDP of the U.S. Our country just doesn't experience job losses and economic devastation with these big hits. It also reshuffles what jobs are available and desired. As a business owner, you have to be ready to adjust quickly and have your finger on the pulse of the economy to survive these harsh and unstable periods of time. Morgan Housel, author of The Psychology of Money, has said, and I quote, "Use money to gain control over your time, because not having control of your time is such a powerful and universal drag on happiness. The ability to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want, pays the highest dividend that exists in finance." End of quote. Let me share with you three of my biggest money lessons I have learned in my four decades of being in business. This does not include what I've talked about at length in previous podcasts, which are to do what you love and money will follow. Now, I am not a financial advisor, so this is coming from a place of sheer experience. I'd also like to add a side note. Unfortunately, all of these lessons I had to learn the hard way. Number one, save money. Save money. Save money. Did I mention to save money? And have little to no debt. Put money away for a rainy day, because there will be a rainy day at some point in your life and business, and probably more than one rainy day. When you have had those years that you are reaping financial rewards, use that money to put away by first producing a cushion in your checking account and then opening a savings account to help you pay for unexpected bills that arise. This also means that you will need to make enough money to save. We all experience some down years, but those years should be rare, or maybe being in business is not in your best interest. One year, my company made a good profit, and unexpectedly, I was handed a tax bill for $25,000, which was exactly $25,000 more than I had. I was not going to let this happen again. Having a savings account with a good cushion in it will help you save a lot of money down the road so that you are not taking out a business loan or trying to come up with a way to pay bills. Especially today, interest rates on credit cards and loans are ridiculously high, and it's money directly out of your wallet when you pay interest. The second lesson I learned about money: grow your business at a measurable rate. Don't grow too fast, because this can be one of the main reasons cash flow becomes a serious problem in your business. Have a budget and understand your numbers, inside and out, sideways and backwards. It's important to know and understand your financial numbers. Read, understand, and absorb your financial statements. Numbers don't lie. I personally will only make one big financial decision, such as hiring a new employee or buying a big piece of equipment, and then wait it out for at least a year to see how I have landed before making any new big decisions. And the third lesson I learned about money: observe your money belief system and behaviors. What do you really believe about money? Your money beliefs fuel your money behaviors. If you are experiencing money problems, what belief or behavior is fueling this fire? What role has money had in your life? To be successful in business, it's imperative we learn a healthy relationship with money. Which leads me to also share again the importance of hiring an accountant. I know I've mentioned this before, but I cannot emphasize it enough. Have another set of trained eyes on your business to help you make important financial decisions and keep you on track. Our company was audited in 2005, and if it wasn't for my CPA handling it, I would have been a mess managing it on my own. You have no idea how well you are doing with your bookkeeping until you are audited. And thanks to my CPA, the IRS actually wound up owing our company a check after all was said and done. I am certain I never would have had that result on my own. Not to mention the other ways my accountant has had my back with sound financial advice. Based on these three recommendations, let me ask you a few questions to help you think about where you stand financially. Number one, how much do you have saved? If it's not enough to cover a few months at least of personal and business bills, what can you do today to start putting some money away consistently? Number two, do you know exactly how much money is coming in and how much is going out? If not, make a list of everything you pay and how much money you make. Are you making enough money to be more than solvent? And number three, what did you learn about money growing up? How have these lessons impacted how you manage money today? When I first started a business, my goal was to make extra money. Then when I leaped into full-time, my goal was to get my family's needs met financially. Actually, I was pretty ecstatic about just making my bills for a few years. I thought that was a huge milestone, and it was. Then the realization hit me that eventually something could happen to me or my husband's health, and I needed to start planning on retiring. At that time, I believed that my husband and I would run our business forever because we were so passionate about it and because we were much younger with way more energy. But I was aware that circumstances happen out of our control, that I needed to prepare for my family's financial needs beyond the day-to-day transactions. Having a healthy relationship with money relies on our being self-aware and being honest with ourselves about how we manage it. Money is a process. It's important to have an idea about how much money is enough for us and how do we want our money to play a role in our life. We can have too little of money to where it is a huge cause of concern and stress, and there can also be a point that we are striving for money and forgetting about our other priorities, like our children or family, or even fun. I would like to hear from you if you have any questions about these podcasts or if you have any feedback or have a topic you would like me to cover on a future podcast. Or if you have any questions about upcoming workshops, you can reach me by sending me an email at reneeperrycoaching@yahoo.com or through my website contact page at reneeperrybusiness.com. Also, please hit the subscribe button below this podcast so that you can continue to hear them. The reason I started my own business is because I wanted to do something I really enjoyed, something I could grow and learn from, something that provided me control, freedom, and independence to work around my kids, and of course, a way to make some extra money. My main driver of owning a business was to have control, freedom, and independence. I wanted the freedom of watching my kids grow up and not have someone else have that privilege, and I wanted the freedom of doing my work as it fits around my family, not the other way around. I also wanted the freedom to make my own money and not have a boss tell me my worth. I have experienced everything that I dreamed of and then some, and have been very blessed in my life and business career. Money has never been the driver, but it absolutely had to be the result, or I wouldn't be in business right now. I also believed that if I was going to manage a business, I was going to give it my all, which meant my energy and time, and I wasn't going to leave any room for failure because if I failed, that would mean too much loss. Loss of money, time, and energy that I wasn't willing to have happen. Happiness equals control, freedom, and independence for me. What does it mean for you? Be cautious of overextending your finances on a dream. If you are starting out like my husband and I did, with bare minimum or nothing at all, go slow. Know where you stand financially and set boundaries. I have seen businesses in an enviable position lose everything. I have seen a lot of businesses go and many come. Don't take money for granted, but also don't be afraid of it. Money doesn't buy happiness. Of course, money doesn't buy happiness. Happiness can't be bought. There are books, articles, and research papers about what makes one happy. For some reason, we want to compare happiness with money. Happiness is within you, your attitude, how you choose to look and live your life. According to Thomas Corley, author of Rich Habits, The Daily Success Habits of Wealthy Individuals, I quote, "People who loved what they did for a living accumulated an average of $7.4 million or $4 million more than the wealthy who liked their jobs. It took this group of rich people 12 years to accumulate their wealth, or 20 fewer years than people who liked their jobs. In those 12 years for people who loved their jobs, they did not start out rich, and they had no way of knowing if the job they loved would make them rich. The rich people were so passionate about what they did for a living that their only real goal was to make enough money to pay their living expenses so that they could continue doing what they loved." End of quote. In other words, do what you love and money will follow. Thank you for joining me today, and remember, a wise man has money in his head and not his heart. Be smart and not emotional about money. Imagine what it would be like to experience financial peace of mind. You deserve to experience that.